Please stand for the reading of the sermon text. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Savior Jesus. Amen. The word of our Lord that we consider this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. And on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now, and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So far, our text. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is our best and kindest friend, dear fellow redeemed. In 1865, an Irishman by the name of Joseph Scriven wrote a hymn for his mother to comfort her in times of sorrow. In that hymn, Joseph reminded his mother that the best friend of believers is Jesus. And he's there. You always can rely upon him. He'll help you in every kind of need that you have. With these words, then, he wrote of Jesus being our friend. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We shall never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. In the past, this hymn was criticized as too much on the order of sentimental gospel type. Oh, there's no question that this hymn involves emotions. But it's not shallow, superficial, or groundless. It stirs us, our hearts up. This hymn, quite fittingly, arouses a good and beneficial feeling of comfort, peace, hope, and joy. Because it tells us how Jesus is always there with us as our friend. And he is there to share our life's sorrows as well as our life's joys. And he's always there to help us in any need. That Jesus is such a true and most helpful friend is revealed in John's account of the wedding of Cana. In our childhood years of going to Sunday school, we learned this lesson of Jesus and his disciples being invited to a Jewish wedding as guests. What stands out about this joyous event is Jesus' miraculous turning water into wine so that they would have an adequate supply for the week-long celebration. At the conclusion of this account, John points out that this was the beginning of Jesus' ministry and revealing his glory as the promised Christ and Lord, manifesting it. The glory of Jesus, which shows forth in this event, shines a light on a number of important truths concerning him, as him being our best friend. It shows Jesus' willingness to join us in life's experiences, sharing with us our joys as well as our sorrows. It reveals his love and his compassion toward us in our earthly needs. It gives evidence of his great wisdom to know what and when to help us with and supply us with our needs. And it finally demonstrates his great power to help us in any and every need. When Jesus accepted the invitation to attend the wedding service and the wedding banquet that followed, his presence tells us he took a personal, individual interest in this wedding couple. This was a special occasion of God uniting a man and a woman in the holy estate of matrimony. And Jesus joined in rejoicing that in this wonderful sacred union, God would be blessing husband and wife in the days and years to come. This is just one of countless occasions Jesus has been present to share with us and our brothers and sisters in the Lord our joys, joining us in rejoicing over the good times, the blessings, and the triumphs in life. Whatever the event or occasion or experience of life, Jesus is right there, taking a personal and active interest in us and in our lives. Besides the joyous events, Jesus is also acquainted with our sorrows. One example of this is that of what happened to Lazarus, Jesus' dear friend. He was very sick, a sickness that led to death. And so when Jesus got to Bethany, he saw Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, weeping and others mourning. Jesus wept. Now Jesus knew that just in a short time he was going to raise Lazarus back to life from the dead, but he felt what they were feeling. Sorrow when you are physically separated from a loved one through death. Jesus is fully acquainted with all the various adverse feelings we experience in this sin-cursed world. He knows exactly the feelings and what they're like because he personally experienced them, all of them. Now, how can we make that claim? In the book of Isaiah, where it speaks of Jesus' substitutionary work as our Savior, the prophet reveals that Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs, human griefs. When God the Father laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all, Jesus experienced all the feelings that we have in this life because of sin that's in this world and it's in our hearts and lives. He experienced it all because God laid it on him. He experienced all our griefs, all our sorrows, our fears, our guilt, our shame, all that which comes as a consequence of sin in this world. He felt it all. So he knows personally what you are going through, what you're feeling, because he felt it as well. During those times of life that bring either joy or sadness, would that we would always remember that Jesus is there as our friend. Would that we would always be moved to cast all our cares and all our burdens upon him. through prayer and be ready to listen to him. Listen to his word of counsel and follow them. He shares in our joys and he shares in our sorrows. We have oftentimes needlessly missed out on experiencing a blessed life of communion with Jesus because we didn't always realize his presence or look to him as our best and kindest friend and bring our problems to him and trust in him as our best and kindest friends. As Christians who have come to know Jesus as our greatest friend, we want to invite him into our lives and into our homes, whether we are at home, at work, or at play. We want Jesus' presence in our lives. This very special guest at the wedding in Cana was not an unfeeling, idle bystander who had no concern about the special needs of the people, the couple, the wedding couple, the needs that arose. As a true friend of the married couple, when the wedding banquet ran out of wine, Jesus was sympathetic, and he took a personal interest in the predicament. Judging by the circumstances recorded in John's Gospel, it would appear that the family that was giving this banquet, which would last for about a week, they didn't have a whole lot of money, and they could ill afford to buy more money. Now, this problem was not a serious problem with grave consequences, but it would have put a damper on this joyous event if they didn't have wine for the week. And Jesus' response to this minor need reveals him as a friend who lovingly and compassionately is concerned about every aspect of human need. Every aspect. That wonderful characteristic of compassion, which is an essential element of a good friend, is ever to be found with Jesus when he was confronted with the many and various physical afflictions. Hunger, poverty, oppression, spiritual being tormented, lost or forlorn. Scripture reveals that it's because of the Lord's compassion that they are new every morning. And because his compassion is new every morning, he's not going to pour out his wrath upon us when he sees our sin, but rather he pours out upon us his mercy. It was on account of Jesus' spirit of compassion that he showed us as our best friend when he laid down his life for us on the cross, for our eternal salvation. Jesus' mother Mary came to the realization that Jesus is our best friend in the time of need. For when the celebrants ran out of water, she came to Jesus. She had the confidence that Jesus had an interest in this couple and the celebration, and that he had the power to remedy the problem. Jesus responded to Mary by saying, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Now, this rather curt response by Jesus was not an utter rejection, saying, "I'm not going to help those people." No. What it does reveal is that Jesus found it necessary to gently rebuff Mary. A reminder, things have changed. Because Mary came across as if she was instructing Jesus to do something like she did when Jesus was growing up as a young boy in Nazareth. When Jesus began his ministry, Mary's role of authority came to an end. It's vain and even wrong for people to think Mary, even now, is the one that you need to bring your prayers and petitions to, although she can't hear us, and think that she's going to intercede for us. She has the in with Jesus, and so Mary will plead our cause before Jesus. Mary's request of Jesus at the wedding feast was on the same level of every sinner that comes to Jesus asking for help. We know in the Bible that there is an open and direct channel that we have with Jesus. We don't need a go-between to talk to Jesus and ask him for help. And so he wants us, as our best and kindest friend, when the need arises, he says, you come to me and you make your requests known to me directly. He says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And he assures us that whatever we ask according to his will, he'll grant it. Jesus' remark, my hour has not yet come, gave an indication that he would determine, according to his wisdom, the appropriate time and the manner in which he would respond to this need that arose at the feast. Mary, in turn, willingly accepted this and put her trust in Jesus' response, because what did she say to the servants? Do whatever Jesus asks you to do. Mary's humble acceptance and confidence in Jesus' divine wisdom to know when and how to remedy the problem is a good example for us. We ought to wait on Jesus after we've brought our prayers and our petitions to him. May God preserve us from the folly of thinking we always know what's best for us, and of neglecting to take into account the Lord's all-knowing wisdom. This kind of thinking can only set us up to conclude that, you know, if we approach the Lord asking him for help and we don't receive what we want, or we don't get it right away, we might be led to think, well, he's not my friend. He doesn't listen to me. He doesn't care what happens to me. When we consider that the whole world, and yes, our lives under his governance, and yes, he, by his all-wise, knowing ways, and by his almighty power, he created all things. And in whose hands everything consists, everything holds together for the Lord, with the Lord. So should there ever be any question in our minds that God has the wisdom to know what we need and when to supply that need, that Jesus possesses the power to master every situation or predicament that arises which is beyond our control, is clearly demonstrated in this miraculous act of turning the water into wine. While we are subject to nature, on the other hand, nature is subject to the Lord. And in this case, Jesus superseded the laws of nature. He subjected the laws of nature to him as he miraculously changed the water into the best wine ever made. Isn't that what the master of the feast, who tasted all the food, tasted all the wines, he said to the host? Now, usually, at a wedding banquet, you put out your best wine, and then later on in the week, you put out your worst wine. But he said, you waited to this long to bring out the very best wine. So that shows how miraculous and how good this miracle of Jesus was. The gospel account in the New Testament scriptures are filled with examples of people coming to Jesus with all kinds of problems, which only Jesus had the power to remedy. There were individuals who were afflicted with blindness, lameness, deafness, physical paralysis, leprosy, demon possession, and the list of things goes on and on. And there wasn't a problem that Jesus couldn't help them with. Even in some cases, when they had lost a loved one through death, he raised that loved one back to life again. He has the power to help us in any and every situation of life. What a friend we have in Jesus, for we can go to him with any kind of problem of life and know that there's nothing too hard, there's nothing too difficult for him to help us with. Knowing this, we can cast all our cares, all our concerns upon him. And he has instructed us to do this and confidently trust that he'll help us according to his will and eternal purpose. The evangelist John reports that when the disciples witnessed this miraculous sign, it served to strengthen their faith in Jesus. May this message that we hear, that demonstrated, that revealed, manifested the glory of Jesus in so many ways, will increase our faith in knowing Jesus is my best friend who will help me and love me to the end. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.